The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Notes, but they might be a little disorganized. My boys keep me very busy, so you kind of fly by day. I hope these short notes will be useful. It might not make a little sense, but feel free to come talk to me after, and I can explain further. So what I'm focusing on here is today is just about what sort of accommodations and resources have helped us on our sort of five-year journey, and it's ever-changing. So I'll just get right into it, and I really hope it's useful to you. In our home, we use accommodations such as scribing, which means I write things down for my kids who struggle. Both of them really significantly struggle with writing. And I use timers and do short lessons. We also started using a speech to text program on the computer for my kids who have difficulty with their writing. Especially my 9-year-old who was recently diagnosed with a writing disability this year. And writing has really caused a lot of anxiety for him and emotions. I try to provide the kids with a quiet environment and one-on-one teaching when they're learning. The less distractions, the better, which is really important for my kiddos, especially my child who's autistic, who's very sensitive to noise. Otherwise, he really just kind of shuts down. By seeking professional advice and feedback, it has really helped me and help my kids in a much better way. Sometimes we use apps such as the All About Reading Letter Tile app. They have the program here today in the vendor hall. It has helped my kids who have difficulty with writing and for one of my kids who has sensitivity to sounds versus using the plastic tiles. My oldest couldn't focus on using the magnetic tiles, if you're familiar with the program, because he just could not focus for 1 minute. My oldest son told me that the scraping sound or the movement of the plastic tiles were affecting him, that he was so bothered and he has high sensory challenges and needs that he just, it was probably like nailed on the chalkboard to him. We take time and we don't rush through their schoolwork or curriculum. I really don't worry about keeping up or where they should be. I just go at their own pace, and that has worked really well. If it takes us 2 years, it takes us 2 years, and they are very happy with their success. By using visual aids on the walls, such as the alphabet, the steps for writing upper and lowercase letters, and for writing numbers, this really helps my kids who have a difficulty with the mechanics of writing, and they often forget the steps. Or the memory of how to write. They just can't remember all the steps. It's very difficult for them. We use tons of math manipulatives, which helps my kids to visually see what the numbers look like and how they work. For example, we use the abacus, base 10 blocks, and math cubes. We also use math graph paper for math. You can cover up some of the columns when adding up multiple numbers. That's a recent discovery of mine. Which also helps for knowing where to carry the numbers over for addition, which both my children really have a hard time with that. This is useful for remembering the place value, and it keeps the math equation straighter. You can also find printable graph paper for math on Teachers Pay Teachers. Example for math, one of my kids who has a writing disability flips his numbers often. Especially for the number 7. I asked him if I could write the answers down for him. He agreed, and he was able to tell me the answers on the worksheet. This reduces anxiety greatly, and he was able to complete the lesson and also get the correct answers. It has also been helpful to know when to stop when my child has reached their limit or go until just enough. When my kids who struggle with their emotional regulation, this is a very important key factor in their learning. By listening to my kids when they need breaks, they're able to learn more and focus on their schoolwork better. By doing various therapies, occupational therapy, speech therapy, and a psychologist, my kids have greatly benefited from working with their emotional regulation and management, their sensory needs, and help with their writing. I often get help from an educational therapist, Diane Geerlings, through HSLDA, and from a parent support group online, pay a minimal fee through through GearLinks. Another good resource that I recently discovered is the Learning Disabilities Association of Manitoba. I received guidance for how to accommodate both some of my boys' math challenges that they face. We had our kids assessed by an audiologist, an optometrist, and also for any learning disabilities. This has helped me to understand why they are struggling with their learning and to better help them learn in their own way. By providing sensory needs that my kids have had, this also helps with their learning. By providing short, clear instructions one at a time, by asking myself, do they understand what is being asked of them? Do I need to slow my talking down and pause? Is there an audio processing delay? How much memory can they hold on to? This really helps with their learning. I try to be flexible and try to choose a curriculum that fits their needs. Sometimes I've contacted the company who made the curriculum and have asked questions on their social media pages. This has been very helpful. Movement is very good for my boys. It keeps them regulated and in turn helps them with learning. They have a hard time sitting still for very long. Lastly, I've used structure and routine, which works well. I use a homeschool planner and have checklists for each subject for each child. This works well for us, and it helps them feel like they're finished for the day. Well, that probably was a little disorganized and scattered, but I hope that has helped some of you.
Well done. Thank you, Kelly. Our next panelist is Christy Burton. She's in her 11th year of homeschooling, and her kiddos are adopted, and they've also fostered homeschooled some bonus kids, too. She's schooled very diverse kids with various extra needs, and she's also trained ABA, the behavioral therapist. She specializes with kids on the autism level.
All right, good morning. Yes, that's me in a nutshell. I am actually someone, I was homeschooled myself, and so when I went into wanting to become a mom, I was totally planning on homeschooling my kids, and it was going to be this wonderful, beautiful journey that I had experienced, and lo and behold, God had a very different journey for us. We struggled with infertility for years, and that led us to God's true plan for us to adopt and foster kids. And then that gave us just extra stuff. All of our kids have something. I live in a house of, I call it alphabet soup sometimes. But I really think that, some people shy away from, I wasn't going to even say anything about this, but some people shy away from getting their kids a diagnosis or, because they're afraid of labeling or you have your different reasons. And I would just encourage you in saying that it doesn't have to, like, it can be a tool that you use, to help your kids so that you don't have to feel like you're reinventing the wheel. You don't have to feel like you're alone and you're the only one dealing with this, because you're not. There are others around you and people that have kind of, you know, done more research and can give a lot of good advice and stuff like that. And so, use it as a tool is my encouragement in that. And it doesn't have to be against a little bit, but not the way he used to. And it's also easy to redirect it. In fact, he is excited about me redirecting him. He stims when he's bored. Okay, so getting to that point is hard work. But what I did for probably 3 solid weeks is plan absolutely nothing. I went nowhere. It was like, I'll think potty training boot camp or something like that. We stayed at home and I spent the entire 3 weeks just redirecting. He had this thing where he would stim on like rough surfaces and he would until his knuckles were bleeding. And then he would cry because the knuckles were bleeding. But he wouldn't stop, right? And so there were some habits like that I knew had to change. Plus, I couldn't get to him. And so I would just, every time he started doing any kind of sting, I would redirect him. I would say, come, Dustin. And I would take his hand and I'd take him over to, let's say, some trains. Well, he wasn't that interested in the trains, but I would force him to just put a few pieces together. And then we'd go do something else. I would give him a little treat. He loved to eat. He still does. And so I would use treats as reinforcements, like, hey, good job. We're going to do this. And then we're going to have a little treat. And I would just keep his life just jam packed full. It was challenging because I also had a very, I had a newborn when he was 3. And then later on, like when he was 5, he would run a lot. Anyway, so that's another whole story to go on. Does that answer your question?
Anybody else? Very good. Well, we have a couple of minutes here. I don't know if anybody's got something here that's discussing in closing.
I did forget to mention that if you are interested in this book, it's Dustin's story, just kind of briefly, of when he was younger. It's written for children, but I've heard from other adults that they've enjoyed it as well. A friend of mine did the illustrations, and I think she did a beautiful job with it. I'm in booth 30 in the vendor hall if you're interested in taking another look, or I'll be at the Mentor Center, like Earl mentioned. I would love to talk to you further.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.